Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porther with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to have Adam Vingan from The Athletic join us at 9:30. We'll get into the latest with the Nashville Predators with him. Also, an interesting piece that he came out with yesterday on TheAthletic.com and a conversation with Mattias Ekholm, who, of course, is at the center of a lot of trade rumors around the league right now. So we'll get to that later with Adam and get his thoughts on that piece. But right now, talking Tennessee Titans and taking your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, we talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, but Malcolm Butler moved on yesterday. The Titans making a decision to cut him and go a separate way from Malcolm Butler. A decision they did not make yesterday was the franchise tag with Jonnu Smith. The tag deadline has come and gone. Nobody from the Titans receiving a franchise tag or a transition tag. Number one, how surprised were you that Jonnu Smith did not receive a tag of some sort? And number two, as you evaluate the beginning of free agency coming up next week, how realistic do you think it is now that Jonnu Smith will not be a part of things for the Titans moving ahead to next year?
Well, it's more realistic for sure, and I'm a little surprised. I mean, going in a few weeks ago, I didn't think they'd tag anybody. And as time went on, I kind of warmed up to the idea of tagging Jonnu Smith, transition or franchise, because he's the one of those three that it would work out in terms of averaging the top five. You know, I mean, it's
right. Like, you're not tagging Corey Davis or Jayon Brown.
Right. Jonnu Smith, I think he's worth it. I think it's also worth working diligently between now and March 17th, the beginning of free agency, on trying to get a deal done with him. And I think he's the most important of those three to have moving forward. But certainly it looks more likely that he won't be. I mean, it looks like there's a real chance here that Jonnu Smith, Corey Davis, Jayon Brown are all elsewhere next year, and that's heavy losses.
Yeah, I mean, heavy losses. And I've been operating under the assumption that they're going to at least bring one of the three back. That's kind of what I've always had in my mind, that it's going to be difficult to get to, I think virtually impossible to bring all three back, especially if you want to accomplish other things you want to accomplish with this team and with this defense specifically. But I've always just kind of thought one of the three will be back. But the more I look at it now, and I don't think yesterday was good news either for Corey Davis in terms of Titans fans wanting to keep him around.
It's good news for him.
It's great news for him, but it's not good news for Titans fans wanting to keep him around, because Allen Robinson gets franchise tag, Chris Godwin gets franchise tag. I mean, those are two guys on the receiving market that would command a lot of attention and command some big money. They're not going to be there, and all that does is elevate Corey Davis in terms of the free agent discussion. So I look at it right now, and Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 tweeted this out yesterday, and I agree with him. Like, if you're Jonnu Smith, you've had 2 months to come to an agreement on a contract. I'm not saying it's impossible that he's going to sign a deal before next week when free agency begins, but now that the tag deadline has come and gone and you've made it this far, like, if I'm Jonnu Smith or a player out there, probably want to see what my market value is and what I'm worth on the open market. So, again, I'm not going to dismiss the possibility that he signs with the Titans from now until then. I would say it's pretty unlikely at this point, given how far we already are into this process.
I mean, if the Titans get, offered Jonnu Smith, like 4 years, $30 million, something like that, 18 million guaranteed, would he be tempted to just take that deal and not dip his toe in what is certainly going to be a, limited market for the most part? I just wonder if there's something that they could hit with him that even would give them a better cap situation this year than tagging him.
Maybe
that would entice him. I don't know. I mean, obviously that's a big thing between him and his agent and what they project his market to be. And honestly, I don't know with Jonnu Smith. I mean, I know that GMs in this league don't just read stats like some people who look at Jonnu Smith and say, nah, he's not worth the money. I mean, again, I can't believe anybody who's closely watched this team in the last few years would just dismiss Jonnu Smith based on his stats. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into that, and this team is built around the running game, and Jonnu Smith is a perfect tight end for this team because he is a big part of the running game and he's a big part of the passing game who I think can be a much bigger part of the passing game and was going to be a much bigger part of the passing game in 2020. And then there'd be, well, there'd be a bigger issue for the Titans right now keeping him, probably. But these GMs do their homework. I mean, I think, for the most part. Sometimes you wonder about that.
Unless you're in Houston, but yeah.
Fair. Fair. Bill O'Brien probably would have given Johnny Smith 20 mil or would have ignored him entirely.
Yes.
One or the other.
No in between.
Yeah. But that I really can't – and I'd like to see also the difference with so many of these guys, not just him, the difference between this offseason, what they'd be getting, and another offseason. And maybe that's something that gives the Titans a chance to keep Davis too. But – I agree with you. I've kind of always looked at it like they're going to keep one of those two offensive guys. I just don't know which one.
Yeah.
I don't know that I believe that anymore.
Yeah, and that's a tough spot to be if you're a Titans fan. And also, like, from Jonnu Smith's perspective, and we brought this up earlier, like, I wonder, as you get closer to free agency, how you view this offense. Because, obviously, it's a productive offense, but a lot of it is the running game with Derrick Henry. And you're doing a whole lot of blocking. And obviously did more blocking than he anticipated last year when Taylor Lewan went down. But still, you're not a heavy part of the passing game in ways that you could be in other offenses around the league. I wonder how much that factors into this decision by Jonnu Smith as well. Like, if it gets to free agency and you're weighing your options with the Titans or some other teams around the league, you brought up the Ravens earlier, who I think he would be a great fit for their offense. Is that a place he'd want to go based on the style? Like, I'm curious how important the style of the offense and how much the ball gets thrown around in these offenses matters to Jonnu Smith, in addition to the money, of course.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm sure there's plenty of tight ends who enjoy the blocking aspect of their job. Having seen what Jonnu Smith has done in that area, I feel like he's good at it and enjoys it. But, I mean, you'd much rather be flanked and out and catching 65 passes, right? I mean, getting 10 touchdowns. I mean, that probably sounds attractive, but you want to win. You want to be in an organization you like. You want to, there's a lot of factors, and I think a lot of factors that could keep guys here. You know, Corey Davis. I think Corey Davis may be able to go somewhere that looks at him as a one-ish receiver and a more pass-based offense. But he fits perfectly in this offense and in this locker room and this team. How much does that maybe entice him to take a little bit less to stay here? I don't know. I think for some guys, it's like, no, I'm getting every single cent out of this brief window in my life to be a professional football player. I don't blame anybody for thinking that way. But I think there's also something to be said for winning, you know, quality of experience and the known versus the unknown.
And the question now becomes, if you're the Titans and you're not able to come to an agreement with Jonnu Smith over the next week here, what do you do at tight end? We've all talked about Michael Pruitt and Jeff Swaim and Anthony Firkser being important guys to bring back into the fold, but they're not going to be expensive guys. And I don't think any of those three are guys that you want being your number one tight end. So if it's not going to be Jonnu Smith, where do the Titans go from here? I mean, that's interesting. I mean, you're going to have some guys out there that are on bargain basement type deals. Like Kyle Rudolph from Minnesota is an interesting guy. He's not the same player as he used to be, but could that be, or a guy like that, be an area where the Titans have to pursue, just given the fact that you've got to find somebody to come in and fill that void? I'm fascinated to see how John Robinson is going to handle this if it's not Jonnu Smith. And as we know, like, I mean, you could draft a guy too, but we talked about with the receiver part of this, you've already got a ton of needs in the draft as well. You can't just draft everybody in the first two rounds. This is quite the puzzle that John Robinson might have to put together.
Yeah, I get the sense. I just looking at the whole picture of it, that tight end is probably addressed more likely in free agency and
agreed,
and the others in the draft. And let's also remember that all the tight ends are free agents. I mean, I think it's crucial that the Titans sign Anthony Firkser, and yep, his production could make him very interesting to some teams out there. He's a very good pass-catching kind of tweener of a tight end. He's not a number one tight end. He's not going to be the number one tight end in this offense. That's not what he is, but he's a valuable part of the passing game. And Tannehill absolutely trusts him and has great chemistry with him. You got to sign him. I think you need to sign Michael Pruitt again too. And I think he's a really good backup to what your number one tight end is, but you need a number one tight end.
We'll get your thoughts on the Titans and on Jonnu Smith specifically on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Did the Titans make a mistake by not placing a tag on Jonnu Smith? We'll get your thoughts on the other side when we come back. But, hey, the NCAA tournament right around the corner, and it's time for you to sign up and play the official Game Bracket Challenge, brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, Cool Springs Wine and Spirits, European Collision Repair, and Coach's Corner Sports Grill. Go to thegamenational.com or the Game National app now to sign up and play. Brackets will open after the teams have been selected on Sunday, March 14th. We'll be right back on Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans right now, getting your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Adam Vingan from The Athletic coming up at 9:30, so looking forward to that conversation with him.
Can I share something on the personal text line?
You sure can.
Kyle Tucker, friend of the show, co-worker for mine at The Athletic, he said, we're talking about all this Titans, said, you were free to share my take that they might suck.
Yeah, hey, maybe they will.
And he says, Kyle says, show me how they're, as I hit the mic, show me how they're definitely getting better, even staying as good, in all caps. And I think that's a fair question. We don't know the whole picture. We don't know who all they're going to pick up, who they're going to keep. But right now, they're becoming a weaker, worse football team right before our eyes.
And I don't think this fan base is necessarily prepared for that, for this team to possibly take a pretty big step back from last year just from a win-loss record-wise.
Well, you have one more game in there maybe to win, so that'll help. Extra game in the schedule.
Or an extra game to lose.
Good point.
Yeah.
9-8. Better than 8-8.
That's going to get really weird to get used to saying to, and 9-8, baby. Come on.
Stupid league.
Let's go
just
back.
Just wait until it's 9-9.
Yeah, man. That's going to be great. 18 games. What do you think of that?
Sure. Make it 20. Player safety. That's all we care about in this league.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake from Murfreesboro text in. Not that I necessarily disagree, but why is Ferkser, why doesn't he have the potential to be a number one? He's got good hands and does enough as an edge run blocker. In today's NFL, having sure hands is extremely valuable and can overshadow an underachieving slot wide receiver. So why do we think maybe Anthony Ferkser does not have the potential to be a number one wide or number one tight end?
I mean, sometimes football is really just basic physics.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just he's just not big enough. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
You catches
know?
The ball very well.
Right. Yeah, I know. I mean, he's been a terrific find. And, of course, remember now, he came in the league. He's, in fact, it's funny because he's still kind of – they don't list him as a fullback. Or they do. Do they still list him as a fullback? I mean, he came in the league as a quote-unquote fullback. But, yeah, he's just – I mean, pretty simple. He's just not big enough. I mean, he's 6'2", 246. You know, it's funny because when you compare height-weight, it's like the exact same as Jonnu Smith, and yet I think of Jonnu Smith as dwarfing Anthony Ferkser.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's the makeup of your body too. I don't think Ferkser is an every down blocking tight end. And you know what? If he proves me wrong and if they go about this thinking that he is, then I'll say I'm wrong, but from what I've seen, you know, that's just not what he is. And Jonnu Smith, I think, has grown into a, at times, dominant blocker to go with all that he brings to the downfield game.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in and says, what if the Titans get Gronk? I think that would be a cool piece. And he is a good blocking tight end. Get a local Rob Gronkowski
sure.
coming in here.
Bring the party. Bring the party to Nashville.
Could have had Gronk if they got Brady.
That's right.
He'd have been here.
That's right. What could have been? But what about the Gronk impact on a guy you mentioned earlier, which is Cameron Brate?
That, to me, is a very interesting situation because Gronk has already said he wants to come back to Tampa Bay. It was pretty obvious at the end of last season he had taken over as the number one tight end for the Bucs. And I was kind of looking at things. SI.com came out with a piece, I think a day ago, just kind of highlighting some potential cap casualties for the Bucks. And at the top of the list is Cameron Brate. He's got a $6.5 million cap hit in 2021, 3 years left on his contract at $20.8 million. And it says this, quote, after previously restructuring a six-year contract last offseason, it's unlikely that the Bucks will push Brate's cap hits forward any further, as he's clearly the number two tight end on the depth chart with Gronkowski available. Gronk has vocalized that he would like to return to Tampa Bay in 2020 to play with Brady. I think they mean 2021. His previous quarterback in New England. As such, Brate is one of Tampa Bay's more obvious potential cap casualties or trade pieces. So maybe a guy that could be out there.
John Robinson, Adam Humphries came from Tampa Bay. Obviously, he's very familiar with that organization, having worked there with Jason Light, his pal from New England before he came here. So I'm sure he's well acquainted with that. And Cameron,
you're a
Brate.
Big fan of Cameron Brate.
I'm a big fan of Cameron Brate.
Yeah.
In fact, I mean, I know Gronk. You know, Gronk was great in the Super Bowl. I thought at times last year Brate looked like the better player. You know, I think that would be. He's a guy who really has a lot of ability, and I think would be your absolute number one tight end if you were able to pull that off.
And yeah, he's 29 years old right now, and you're talking about production. Obviously, went down this past year. 34 targets, 28 catches, 282 yards, and two touchdowns on the season in 16 games. But you've got Gronk there as well. I mean, there are a whole bunch of weapons on that Tampa Bay offensive, or excuse me, on that offense last year. So if that's a route that Tampa Bay goes, and by the way, they franchise tagged Chris Godwin yesterday, you would think they're going to try to still keep Shaq Barrett. So they're going to have to start making some moves pretty soon, and maybe Cameron Brate is one of those moves. If he's out there and you lose Jonnu Smith, to me, that's definitely a phone call I'm making if I'm John Robinson and the Titans.
Sign Barrett and Brate.
Long before Kyle Rudolph, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, no, I agree. Jared Stillman has weighed in.
Okay.
Why can't Firkser be a number one tight end? Stillman's take, because he can't block. Now, again, as always, Jared, a little bit of exaggeration there. I don't think he can't block. I mean, Firkser did come in the league as a fullback, right? Like, you're not getting a shot in this league as a fullback unless there's some blocking ability there. Firkser has.
A la Luke Stocker, baby.
Luke Stocker. Yeah, he needed more carries. Matt, your guy, Matt LaFleur.
LaFleur.
Luke Stocker brilliance. So it's not like, you know, Firkser is a non-blocker. He's on the field doing some blocking for some big Derrick Henry runs, too. Honestly, I was stunned when I just went to the roster. I guess I'd never done this before. I mean, he's 6'2", 246 listed. Jonnu Smith is listed at 6'3", 248.
So what do you mean he's not big enough?
Well, it shocks me. That's shocking to me. That doesn't even make sense. You stand those guys next to each other, and there's no way. So I don't know. I don't know if like one of them's way underlisted or one way over, but you know, we can all agree, right? I mean, he's not Jonnu Smith physically or even close,
sure.
And he's not the same level of blocker. And I don't think he's a number one tight end in that way. And a team that plays the way the Titans do, and they have a lot of two tight end sets, and I don't think that that's going to be the option. I think they know if they lose Jonnu Smith, they have to go find someone.
And I keep going back to if you look at this offense with Corey Davis potentially being out, Jonnu Smith now potentially being out as well. If you're Todd Downing looking around, you're like, man, this is going to be tough. Like, you've got a high bar and a high standard that you're being held to anyway with Arthur Smith departing and now taking the head coaching job with Atlanta, this offense, how dynamic it was last year. I mean, people are going to expect with Tannehill and A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry for this offense to be a top five offense in the league again. And I think, I mean, you start losing Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis, there's a good chance it's not going to be a top five offense in the league, no matter who the offensive coordinator would be at that point. This is not good news, I think, for Todd Downing either, with the expectations that I think are already going to be very lofty heading into his first year as Titans offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and you should still feel good if you have that offensive line and you have Brown, Henry, Tannehill. That's good. That's a nice – I mean, you can probably be pretty productive if you just have decent support players. But, I mean, Corey Davis certainly was a big part of last year. I think Jonnu Smith is a guy who is going to have bigger numbers in years to come. And then how are you replacing those guys? I mean, and then how much of a step back might you take? Todd Downing, the expectation is 30 points a game.
Yeah.
That's all.
No pressure, kid.
Yeah.
Have fun. When we come back, we'll switch gears. Adam Vingan from The Athletic will join us. We'll get into the Nashville Predators with him, including a piece on Matthias Ekholm that he came out with yesterday, talking to him about the trade rumors that are swirling about. We'll get to that coming up next with Adams and Preds fans. Make sure you're tuning in tonight from 6 to 7 p.m. for Smashville Live with special guests, Preds players Mark Borowiecki and Matt Benning. I will be a part of that as well, alongside with the great Hal Gill. Smashville Live airs every Wednesday on 102.5 The Game during the Preds season and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can also watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. We'll be right back with Adam Vingan here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic to the program. Adam, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
We are doing wonderful. Adam, I want to start with a wonderful piece that you came out with yesterday at TheAthletic.com and a conversation you had with Matthias Ekholm, of course, a lot of which was spent talking about the trade rumors that are out there and how he goes about responding to this. You can check that out on the game, or excuse me, at TheAthletic.com. Adam, what was your big takeaway from that piece on Matthias Ekholm, who, as always, was about as honest and as open as it gets in that locker room?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. You know, the reason why we enjoy talking to Matthias Ekholm so much is that he's incredibly perspective, he's incredibly honest, and he is aware of what's going on. He knows the team is struggling. He knows his name is out there in trade rumors, and not just out there, but like at the top of the list of players who might be coveted at the trade deadline. And we talked on Monday afternoon, and as always, Matthias, you know, told it like it is. He understands that, you know, his 10-year career with the organization might be coming to an end in the next month. Of course, he would rather stay. He made sure to mention that he has not asked to be traded, though I don't think any of us thought that that was the case, but he just wanted to make that clear. But, you know, I think he understands what the situation is, and, you know, the hardest part for him would be not just, of course, leaving the only team he's known, but he has a young family at home. He and his wife, Ida, just had a baby girl who just turned 1 month old, and they have a 3-year-old son, William. And, you know, especially in this time of COVID-19 and all of the protocols, not just in the league, but in terms of traveling in general, you know, it would be very difficult for them to move. Matthias might have to be away from his family for an indefinite period of time. And, you know, that would be incredibly hard. But he is prepared for anything. So if he were to be traded in the next month, he would not be shocked by it, though, of course, his preference would be to stay.
Yeah, and you mentioned that separation. I mean, that's already happened with them, and not just them, but obviously in the past year, there's been a lot of, you know, families being separated from each other, especially in professional sports. You know, one of my big takeaways, Adam, was definitely like, man, if Matthias Ekholm gets traded, what are we going to do in the media? you know, he's been, you know, a go-to, and it's hard to find people who are that frank. And, you know, I think he's also a guy who has spoken kind of honestly and I think accurately about this team too, through ups and downs over the years. I don't know if bristled's the right word. I was a little bit taken aback when he's talking about this team being better than like that 16-17 team. What did you think about that? Am I overthinking it?
Well, I understand what you're saying, you know, for those who haven't read the article yet, which I suggest you do, by the way. You know, I asked Matthias if he could put a finger on why this team has fallen off so dramatically over the past couple of years. And he could not pinpoint a specific reason, excuse me, but he said that he feels that on paper, this team, this current team, is more talented than the team that went to the Stanley Cup. And I think just based on pure talent alone, I think you can make that argument. I know that a lot of the players have been disappointing, but when you stack up this team versus that team, perhaps when they started the postseason when everybody was healthy, versus this team when it's healthy. I would give the edge to this team. I understand what you're saying. I mean, I didn't have that same reaction, and I can understand why you would. I do think this team is very talented, and that's why, in terms of pure talent, I do believe it is a talented team. They just haven't been able to put it together, and that's why I think they need to go in a different direction. But, yeah, I mean, we all have fond memories of that 2016-17 team, but they weren't a great team either. They needed to make the playoffs. I think they qualified for the playoffs in like the 79th or 80th game of the season. And of course, we know what happened during the spring and summer. That's why I think this drop off has been so hard to comprehend, is because this team should be more talented, but isn't.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Adam, another guy that's been talked about a lot, especially this week, has been Philip Forsberg when it comes to trade rumors. We talked about it a little bit yesterday on the show. David Poyle was on with Darren Donick and Chase yesterday and addressed it, essentially saying, you don't want to close yourself off as a barrier and just say people are untouchable, but does not anticipate that Philip Forsberg is going to be moved anytime soon. When you look at the pros and cons of trading Philip Forsberg, if you're the Predators, what stands out to you, and how much consideration would you actually give that if you're David Poyle and the Predators?
Well, the cons is, can you imagine where this team would be without Philip Forsberg?
It'd be rough.
Just think about that. That's the con. Imagine where this team, which has been besieged by injury and is struggling in general, would be without Philip Forsberg. They would be in the tank. So that's the con. The other con, of course, is that Philip Forsberg, he's in his prime. He's the type of player that he's a foundational player. If you are starting a rebuild and you're going to be moving on from some core players, he is a player who you can put front and center and build around and win a championship. Or not, excuse me, at least challenge for a championship eventually. I wanted to make sure I had all of my bases covered when I said that. The pros, there are two things that come to mind. One, you have to be certain that Philip Forsberg is interested in re-signing. If I am him, I'm 26, I'm in the prime of my career, I'm playing really well. Do I want to sign a 7 or 8 year contract to be part of a rebuild where maybe half of those 7 to 8 years we're not competing for a championship? I'm not sure about that. The other thing is that you also have to consider the contract from the Predators' standpoint. I mean, Philip Forsberg, to me, could easily fetch a $9 million cap hit based on comparable contracts in the Predators' cap situation right now, because he's the most valuable player on the team, in my opinion, at least right now. So he could easily command such a salary, and you might not have the stomach to deal with that, considering all of the long-term expensive contracts that have been signed and how those contracts have worked out, those that are on the team and those that are no longer with the team, specifically Kyle Turris. So when you think about that, you think about the fact that he's under contract for this year, he's under contract for next year. So a team trading for Philip Forsberg would get him at $6 million for all of next season. You know, that's very attractive. I mean, I think you could get a truckload of future assets for Philip Forsberg. I think you could get multiple high draft picks and solid prospects for a player like Philip Forsberg. So while certainly Philip is a player you could build around, he could also kickstart a rebuild by filling your cupboard, so to speak, with high quality prospects and picks.
How often do you think in this league, Adam, it comes about where, you know, like a GM, a front office, gets a feeling for something like that well before it's actually time to talk about it from a player or his agent?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, my understanding is that there haven't been any significant contract negotiations between Philip Forsberg and the Predators, though my understanding is that, you know, that is not unusual for a player at this point that has another year left on his contract. I think those conversations might be had more significantly in the off season when that deadline arrives for them to that the deadline arrives, excuse me, when they can re-sign them, which will be later this summer. I think the Predators would need to have at least an assumption of what's going to happen. But like I said, without Philip Forsberg, this is that would signal, I think you said this yesterday, Joe, that would signal a clear, you know, blow it up type rebuild. And I'm not, we'll see if the Predators have the stomach for it.
Right. And that last question goes with the question of what's the difference in the return, you know? Because
exactly.
I mean, if it's that big of a difference, then, you know, it's worth it to try anyway to find out, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think there is no harm in listening to offers for Philip Forsberg right now, which is what David Poile, I think, alluded to in that conversation with Darren Donick and Chase. Doesn't mean you have to do anything, but to get a sense of what he could be worth, if a team is willing to sell the farm for a player like Philip Forsberg, you might have to consider it. I mean, the Predators, I don't think, anticipated trading Shea Weber until P.K. Subban was available. You know, so those are the kinds of things that you have to consider.
Adam, last thing for you here. Obviously, the Predators are going through the ringer right now in terms of injuries. Roman Josi out week to week, Ryan Ellis, Matt Duchene, and UC Saros. The list goes on and on. Fabro with a hit last night in the Carolina game on Brock McGinn, and he'll be having a hearing later today. What do you think? What did you think of the hit, and what do you think the discipline could look like for Dante Fabro?
It was bad, and I'm surprised it only got a minor penalty in the game. I mean, the head appeared to be the principal point of contact. He left his skates to deliver the hit, which are two things that the Department of Player Safety looks at when determining discipline for these sorts of things. I mean, it's probably going to be at least a couple games, right? You know, maybe yeah. Two. So we'll find out later today because he does have a hearing, as you mentioned. Very rarely do players have hearings and not get disciplined. So it's going to be Matthias Ekholm and the Ekholmettes on the defensive end for the next couple of games, I think. And, you know, that penalty swung the game, in my opinion, because the Carolina Hurricanes, that started their prolonged power play time, and they were able to tie the game. You know, I think that game ends up a lot differently if Dante Fabro doesn't make that hit. So that is punishment enough, I feel like, but he's also going to get suspended for at least a game or two by the league.
Adam Midgen from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Adam, great stuff. As always, appreciate you taking time to join us, my friend.
All right, guys, be good. Thanks.
Absolutely. You as well. You can check out Adam's work at theathletic.com. A great piece coming out yesterday on a conversation with Matthias Ekholm that you'll want to check out. When we come back, we'll continue that discussion, break down that piece with Ekholm, talk about what the future of the Predators could look like, and also the future of the NHL as well. Some good news yesterday in the broadcasting side of things. We'll discuss it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing a little Nashville Predators hockey. Thanks to Adam Vingan from The Athletic for joining us in the last segment. And Joe, his piece yesterday at The Athletic, a great conversation between him and Matthias Ekholm, just kind of highlighting the reality of the situation right now, where trade rumors are swirling about. We've talked about Matthias Ekholm's name being at the top of the list on The Athletic's trade big board, and he is a guy that, if made available, would generate heavy interest around the league based on what he brings to the table. And I thought it was interesting in Adam's story how open and honest Ekholm was about this. Like, I read some of this stuff. I don't go, you know, searching it out, but I read what's going on. I'm aware of the speculation. And also went on to say, like, in a way, it's kind of flattering because it's one thing if they're talking about you suck and you're trying to get you out of here, but that's not the case, obviously, with the Predators. He is aware that they could generate and fetch a huge return for him if that's the route that they chose to go. What did you think of Ekholm's, I guess, reaction to this in Adam's piece? And if you're him, like, how are you viewing the next few weeks here with the uncertainty that's on the table here with your future with the Predators?
I mean, it can't be easy, and I'm not going to, you know, shed a tear for someone making millions to play sports, but this is where, you know, especially you think about families and, you know, the uncertainty around trading deadline time. I mean, you know, and especially, too, when you're talking about someone who's been in one place for a long time, like Ekholm has
right.
been, you know. But it's also, it's not like it's just completely out of left field here, and they'll be ready for it if it happens. I mean, at this point, if they're you know, when they have conversations in the household, they got to be to the point now where it's like, if they're still here next year, it's a surprise, right?
Like, you're almost planning for it, right?
Yeah. You just don't know where you're going. Now you're like, okay. I mean, are you like, Toronto? Okay. That sounds good. Maybe better than, I don't know, Philly?
Boston? Washington?
Yeah, where do you want to go? Like, where do you want to go? Yeah, I mean, do you relish the idea of reuniting with Lavi?
I don't know.
Do you love the show Cobra Kai? Because Lavi's a big Cobra Kai guy, apparently. Also, Lavi just lovey-dovey Mr. Personality now in Washington. Yeah. Like, if you're at home, like, are you like, man, I really need to get back with Lavi? Or are you like, probably be all right somewhere else?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good
question. I don't know either. Adam should have asked him that. He might have answered.
Yeah. You want to go to Washington?
He's like, my only team I'm not going to is Washington.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ryan in Nashville text in, with Yossi and Ellis out, this is why you don't trade Ekholm at the deadline. Also, this is Fabro's first offense, and there was a penalty called, so I think it'll be a fine instead of a suspension.
Nah.
You can't operate just because Yossi and Ellis are out right now. Like, that can't influence what you do with this team at the deadline. Like, it's one thing if you're buying. That certainly influences things. But when you're on track to be a seller, that should not influence what you do.
I mean, unless
one of those players is the one you want to trade. Yeah.
Right. I mean, unless you think that you can actually get back into this and make a run for the playoffs, I don't see why that matters. It means another young guy gets another opportunity.
Yeah. And I don't think Fabro is going to get a fine. I think you're going to see a suspension coming. A game or two, probably, most likely.
Yeah. You see this plenty where a minor's called and it just was a mistake at the time, and then you review it and look at it, and you're like, oh my gosh. Yeah, that he will miss at least a game.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CC9 text in and says, without Forsberg, Smashville would lose 50% of the 15% allowed attendance. I don't think the team needs a complete rebuild. The team would need to lose Arvey, Ellis, Duchesne, and another high player, but you don't have to completely gut it. The role players with this team are more talented than the 16-17 team, with Richardson's and Cousins, et cetera. I don't know if I buy that.
I will not hear the Harry Zollner Chuck.
Disrespect.
P.A. Parenteau and
I guess it depends on who you define as a role player. Like, Mike Fisher was the captain of that team. Absolutely was a role player on that team. He was not, you know, the driving the bus for the Predators going to the Cup Final.
Well, a role player on that team, you know, we know Colton Sissons had a hat trick to get to the – but, I mean, a role player on that team who was really good was Austin Watson.
Yeah.
That was the best hockey he played in his life. He was a really important key penalty-killing guy who could give you a little offense role player that they don't have that.
Yeah, so. And I think we need to, like, redefine what we're talking about with rebuild, too. Like, you're saying you don't need a complete rebuild. Well, Arvidsson, Ellis, Duchesne, and another high player, that's a complete rebuild. This is not a, you know, it's not, we're not saying you're trading away every single player that the Predators have. That's not a rebuild. Nobody does that.
Well, I mean, right. Now, I think that it becomes a deeper one if you go Forsberg.
Yes.
You will get more back for him than anyone else, right?
Yes.
Presumably. And then you also are really starting over. So, I mean, I agree. It's like, if it's less complete to go the other way, but that's still, like, all those names, that's not a retool. That's a rebuild. Mm-hmm.
Porth, it's time to fire up the music, baby. Some good news yesterday in the world of the National Hockey League. Just hearing this song makes me happy, makes me nostalgic, makes me think back to the early days of watching hockey as a youngster for Robbie Stanley. And an announcement coming yesterday, Chris Johnston of Sportsnet reporting that the NHL is teaming up with ESPN once again, agreeing to a new 7-year broadcast deal. And basically, the move gives ESPN the rights to broadcast 4 Stanley Cup finals from 2022 to 2028. Also provides streaming rights for Disney as well. So obviously, the rights holder at the moment was NBC, whose contract ends after this season. Sportsnet reported this yesterday that ESPN and the NHL coming to an agreement on a new contract. Ryan Porth, this makes me very happy just with that theme song alone and the nostalgia that comes with it. What do you think of this move for the NHL teaming back up with ESPN?
I am pretty pumped about this because this is big for the NHL to get back with the four-letter network, with ESPN, the worldwide leader. Yes, the ESPN has their hands on almost everything from a play-by-play standpoint. And NBC, they were they were one of the main focal points. But you get ESPN to care at a higher level about your product than you would think the public around the country will care about your product at a higher level. That's just kind of how it works with ESPN. And with the streaming option on ESPN Plus to put some games on there, and you know, there could be another network come in too, like Fox or CBS, if NBC doesn't re-up.
Yep.
I think this is only positive news for the NHL.
Maybe the glowing puck coming back on Fox? We'll see.
Oh, boy.
Really go back to the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Just bring it all back.
Just bring back Gary Thorne.
That's my only question. Is Gary Thorne going to be a part of this? I have a feeling he's probably not, but if he is, I will probably break down into tears. I love that guy.
Gary Thorne's awesome. I love this for the NHL. I think it's great. I tell you what, MASN just let Gary Thorne go. He's been the Orioles play-by-play guy for a long time. Orioles fans are upset about this, but this just happened a few weeks ago. He's available. He's 72.
Joe, don't get me excited.
He's 72. He's available. I think he was fantastic. Anything he did, but especially I loved him on – I mean, to me, he was at that time in that era, the voice of hockey.
I can just hear him now screaming Steve Yzerman's name and off the floor on the board for Paul Kariya. Man, it gets me fired up.
After 22 years, Raymond Bourque.
Yeah. Like, I enjoy watching Gary Thorne call the PBA. Like, there's a clip floating around with Pete Weber from...
Oh, that was Gary Thorne?
That was Gary Thorne. It's amazing. I could listen to Gary Thorne call anything. Now that Doc Emrick is gone, you need somebody else like this. Give me some Gary Thorne back.
Yeah. Like, Doc Emrick probably took it to a higher level. To me,
I don't know, man. They're both pretty close,
but it's very close. You don't think so?
I would still say Doc is ahead of Gary Thorne.
I would too, but I think it's close too. Gary Thorne, if he's willing, he's available, man. Go get him.
Well, wasn't it just a few weeks ago where the reports came out that NBC was ditching the NBC Sports Network?
Yeah,
later this year.
Yep.
So maybe there's something there.
Maybe so.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe so. Really fascinated to see how this plays out, but great news nonetheless for the NHL. That's going to do it for us here today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.